Well, if you were here last week, you'll know that I embarrassed myself by showing you a picture of 17-year-old Matt. And so if you've seen this already, you might want to look away to cover your eyes so you don't get offended. But here you go. There's five more seconds of 17-year-old Matt. There he is. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, get rid of it quick. That is the old Matt. The old Matt is dead and buried. Here is the new Matt. Hey, there we go. People tell me that my family makes me look a little less grumpy, so that's good. It's like four roses and one huge thorn. Not thorn, sorry. Old Matt is gone and new Matt has come. Now, old Matt wasn't just a long-haired, middle-class bogan. He was far away from God and totally against God. New Matt is completely different. He might not have seen much difference other than a haircut and a lovely family around me. Here's what we saw last week. The old new was an enemy with God, turned away from God, hostile to God. The new you is now a friend. If Jesus has died for your sins, you've been reconciled, made peace between you and God. This morning, we're looking at new you growth. And the big question is, how? How does new Matt keep being new Matt? How do you stop falling back into old ways? But there's a big problem as well. The big problem is robbers. You didn't think it would be robbers, did you? But it's robbers, thieves. Because we live in a world that's trying to rob us of our new yous. Do you get it? We have the daily pressure of thieves trying to steal treasure from us. That's what it says in Colossians 2:2-3. Have a look on the screen there. If you're a Christian, you actually have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Have a look. All the riches of full assurance of understanding, the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The new you has been given all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. In Colossians, we've seen he's the fullness of God in human flesh. All things were made for him, by him, and all things hold together in him. He's before all things. He's the head of his body, the church. All the treasures are in Jesus. So if you're a Christian, Christ is in you. You have all those treasures. And the big problem is people trying to rob you. Have a look at verse 8 here. We're going to look at this next week. See to it that no one robs you by philosophy, empty deceit, according to tradition of people, according to the basic principles of the world, and not in accordance with Christ. I've been robbed a few times. I once had a nice new bike sitting out the front of my house, and I woke up in the morning, it was gone. You've probably been robbed. Do you see the danger here for the Colossians and for us too? It's robbery. We are tempted to be robbed by empty words, traditions, the basic principles of this world. The world will say to us, there are all sorts of ways. There are all sorts of truths. There are all sorts of lives. It's okay. That's robbery. If you're a new person in Jesus, then you have all the treasures in him. He has reconciled you. He has paid the price. He has given you everything. He has transformed you out of old life to new life. So the big question is, how do I live? That's what we're looking at this morning. How do I live? I don't want to get robbed of this treasure. God tells us, how we live. It's all one big call to action. It's an imperative. That's what it is. It's a do this word. That's what an imperative means, right? The call to action by God is this. Keep going with Jesus as your Lord. Actually, the call to action is just one word in verse 6. Did you see it? Have another look. Verse 6, chapter 2, Colossians. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. Now, before we get to that, we've got to notice something. Did you see the therefore? When you see a therefore, you got to ask, what's the therefore there for? It's funny, huh? What is the therefore doing? It's saying, because of absolutely everything that I've said already, therefore this. Actually, this therefore is huge, because the whole argument of the letter is coming to this point in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. This is kind of a summary of the whole letter. It all comes to this. Keep going with Jesus as your Lord. It's an imperative. It's a doing. Remember, we've seen so far some massive things. Jesus is all the fullness of God in human flesh. Jesus made all things. All things were made by Jesus, through Jesus, for Jesus. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And then last week we brought it down. It came to us. Remember last week, this is what we saw. It got personal. Have a look on the screen. And you were, what? Alienated, enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has what? Reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to be holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. Did you see it? And you were, but now He. Your old life is on you, and you were away from God, hostile to God. But now He, God has done something. What has He done? He's made enemies friends through the death of Jesus Christ. The cross is the outworking of an explosive meeting between human sin and a holy God. The cross is where the hostility between us and God that we've put in the way, the blockage, relational blockage, is taken away. So last week we looked at the book, this illustration of the book. Forgive me if you were here last week, you'll know. This book is a book of your sin, remember? Now, imagine this, your hand, this hand is you, and the ceiling is God. Now, here is the book of sin, your sin. Not just you're turning away from God. It's your saying no to God. It's your attitude. It's what you have done. It's what you're going to do. It's what you're doing right now. It's all in there. And I said last week, maybe that's year 1 to 2 for me. Well, bigger book, but I couldn't carry it. I haven't got that bigger muscles. Now, what does Jesus do? He comes along never alienated from God, never hostile to God, always lived God's way, perfect substitute. And what does He do on the cross? He takes the whole lot on Himself. Past, present, future. All your sin is poured out on Him at the cross. And so now, what's stopping you from relating to God as a friend? What's stopping you from being reconciled to God? Nothing. Now today, we're looking at this lifestyle. What does a this sort of person who's had this happen to them and now living like this between me and God, there ain't nothing against me. What does that look like? Have another look at verse 6. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. People who have received Jesus as Lord, these people have no sin accusing them. No consequences of their sin on them. It's all taken on Jesus. People who have received Jesus as Lord are reconciled, at peace, friends with God. But you know, it's not all. He doesn't just take sin. There's another exchange. He takes crown too. You see, for the first 18 years of my life, here's what happened. Does that look good? Hopefully not. I was the king of me. I was the captain. I called the shots. I had the crown on my head. And if you're a Christian, not only did Jesus take all your sin, he also took your crown, which means he's in control, not you. He is the Lord, not you. He's steering, not you. Now, have you heard of Daniel Ricciardo, really famous Formula One racing car driver? Imagine Daniel Ricciardo's there on the track, and I'm there with him because I'm best mates with Daniel Ricciardo. And I say, hey, mate, how about I drive? Get into his Formula One car, and off him. And then he says, Matt, I think you should really let me drive. I would be a fool not to let him drive. Jesus is Lord of everything. That's what Colossians has told us. You'd be a fool not to let him drive. Do you get it? To walk in him is to keep walking in him. There's no second blessings here. Did you see it? Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue, keep going. The way you became a Christian is the way you keep going as a Christian. He takes your sin, you get his treasured righteousness. He takes your crown, you get his loving leadership. The Lord of heaven and earth becomes your Lord. I think he knows best. The Christian life isn't a sprint from one blessing to the next. It's a walk with your dad down to his mansion by the beach. Do you get it? It's not a sprint from one, gotta get the next blessing, gotta get the... It's a walk with your father to his mansion down the beach. I used to be a scout when I was growing up, and we did all sorts of hikes and camps and stuff like that. But there was one thing we did, which was a 40-kilometer hike, and you got sponsors for walking this 40-kilometer walk around down to Fremantle, around and around and around, and then back again up to here. 40 kilometers, and you get sponsors for every K, and it goes to charity. And one year I was walking, I was halfway through this walk, and I was walking past Dingo Flower down there in Fremantle, and then I saw a shop, a kebab shop. And I thought, hang on, it's getting a bit tired, getting a bit hungry. Maybe I should stop. I'd really like a kebab, really like a Coke. And as I came up on the shop, I saw a sign, a Coke sign. Coke overflowing, and that was it. I stopped, sculled two cans of Coke, called my parents, I was gone. Do you see what happened? I was walking, got distracted by bright lights and a bucket of sugar, and stopped walking. Here's the question in front of us this morning. Whether you're a Christian, you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, or you've been a Christian for ages. Is Jesus your Lord? Because that's the kind of walking we're talking about here. Walking as a Christian. Is Jesus your Lord? If you're not a Christian, then he's not your Lord. You wouldn't say, no, Jesus isn't steering my life. He isn't my Savior. He's not driving my car. But here's what that means for you. You still have the crown on your own head. And you still have sin blocking you between you and the God who made you. That isn't good. You need to give your life to Jesus and say, please take my sin, and I can't do it without you. You're better at life than me because you're the Lord of it. You're ignoring your book and your crown. If you are a Christian, well, then obviously, yes, Jesus is your Lord. You've said, yes, please, save me, take my sin, take my crown. But here's the question. Can anyone see it? If someone looked at your life, is there any difference? Does Jesus make a difference? If someone looked at old Matt and new Matt, would they see any difference other than a haircut and a nice family now? There's a book came out a few years ago called The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history by a guy called Michael Hart. And in the ranking of the most influential persons in history, Hart puts the Prophet Muhammad as number one. He puts Isaac Newton number two, and he puts Jesus Christ number three. And when he's explaining this order, Hart says this: "I'm neither a Muslim nor a Christian, but from my observation, Muhammad has far more influence in the lives of Muslims than Jesus has in the lives of Christians." If someone looked at your life, would they see a difference from the old you to the new you? Well, Paul moves on now. Keep going with Jesus as your Lord. He explains what that actually looks like, fleshes it out in four pictures. And we see the way to keep going with Jesus is by growing in him. Have another look at verse 7 there in your handout. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving." When I was walking that 40-kilometer walk with the scouts, there was one year I actually finished the whole thing. I can remember because I was really sore for the rest, like a week and a half afterwards. But I also remember coming up to that kebab shop halfway through and thinking, hang on, this is where I gave up last time. And then I looked a little bit further ahead, and there was a few of my scout leaders there with Gatorade. One of them came up and she encouraged me, gave me some Gatorade, kept walking with me. And I powered on. I finished. The way you keep going is to be strengthened, fed, encouraged, built up by your leader. Paul uses four words here. Did you see them there? They're grouped in pairs: rooted and built up, and then established and abounding. And the idea is they build on each other. They're not separate ideas. They're all cumulative, like building blocks on each other. So firstly, be rooted and built up. Two pictures. We've got plants and we've got buildings. Be rooted and built up. Plants and buildings. And there's a past and there's a present here. To be rooted or planted is a past reality. That's already happened. And to be built up is a present continuous reality. So do you get it? Having been, this is what it means. Having been firmly planted, now being built up in Jesus. Do you get it? Having been planted and now being built up. The planted is a one-off event when you become a Christian. When I planted an orange tree in our front yard once, and I dug a hole, planted the tree, put some fertilizer and watered it and filled it in. The tree was planted. That's what happens to you when you become a Christian. You've already been planted firmly in Jesus Christ. God's done it. He's grabbed you, like I grabbed that orange tree. He's planted you in Jesus by faith. That's a done deal. But it's not where it ends. My orange tree is now growing. Slowly. I'll give you that. There's no oranges on it yet. But it's now growing. Having been firmly planted, we are now being built up. You get the picture? Moves from plants to buildings. We're talking about stones being built into a building now. God plants us like a plant, and then he builds us like a building. I used to be a brickie's labourer. It's a very hard job, picking up bricks, taking them to the brickie. And I think there's about 5,000 bricks on the site, and I picked up every brick three times. I pick it up, put it on the conveyor belt, goes up the top, pick it up, stack it for the brickie. And I would give the bricks to the brickie, and the brickie would build a wall. And then eventually there'd be a house. That's what we're talking about here, the building process. Put both of these together. What does this mean? As you are walking as a Christian, you can only do it living with Jesus as your Lord by remaining planted in Jesus and by being built up in Him. So what does that mean? Well, I'm not a tree and I'm not a stone, Matt, so I'm not quite getting it yet. Well, here's what it means. God gives us one clear way to be continue to remain planted in Jesus and to continue to be growing, to be built in Him. We must walk in His Word. Walk in His Word. Don't walk with His Word over here, which you check occasionally. Walk in His Word. Jesus says, if you want to remain in me, remain in my words. How are you going walking in His Word? Are you allowing the Word of Jesus to dwell richly in you? Is it a part of your everyday life? Or is it something you check occasionally to make sure you're on the right track? Do you open it with your friends instead of just having coffee? Do you open it with your wife, or do you let her do it? Do you open it with your kids? Or are you presuming they're going to be planted by default? The way Jesus keeps us planted in Him is by speaking to us. And the way He continues to build us up is by speaking to us. So walk in His Word. Two more pictures as we finish up. Did you see them? We're not only planted and built up. There's foundations and overflowing, established and abounding. So the result of being planted and built up is that you are established and overflowing. Do you see how they build on each other? Planted, built up, established, strengthened, and then overflowing. It's cumulative. Established is the idea of establishing a concrete slab. You know, they pour a slab for a new house? It's that idea. As it gets stronger and stronger, you pour it, you step on it at that point, go through. It's going to be all sloppy, but it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what it's talking about here. And what are you to be established in? Did you see it? To be established in what? The faith. That means your faith gets stronger. It means you are established in the Christian faith more and more and more. It's about growing in your knowledge, your understanding, your maturity in the Christian faith, to be established like a concrete foundation. And what then happens? There's overflowing. The last picture is water just gushing out. What's the gushing out? Thanksgiving. Can't do anything but say thanks. A life of thanksgiving. So what does this look like for me? Because I'm not a concrete slab and I'm not a gushing water. We walk in His Word. We walk with His people. Buildings with bricks don't just have one brick. A building is not one brick, is it? It's lots of bricks. And that's us. We walk with His people. If you want to grow in Jesus, if you want to keep walking, you must walk in His Word and walk with His people. Two ways we do that at North Coast Church. There's lots of other ways, but two main ways is the Sunday gathering like this and the growth group. All the information's there in your Connect form about growth groups. But they're the two main ways to keep walking. So if you're not in a growth group, get in one. To be honest, we've noticed quite a few people are very, very irregular. They say they're regular, but they're not. Maybe you're wondering why your faith hasn't grown much recently. Could it be that you're not walking with His people? Keep going. How does the old Matt become a new Matt and keep growing? By being rooted and planted in Jesus, by being built up in Jesus, by being established in Jesus and overflowing with thanksgiving. Walk in his word and walk with his people. Let's finish up. I've got a story to tell. There was a certain church member who'd been going to church regularly and then dropped off after a while, as it does happen sometimes. And his growth group leader decided to visit, see how he's going. It was a cold night and they had an open fire going. And so the growth group leader came in, sat down next to the fire, didn't say anything. After a couple of seconds, the growth group leader stood up, picked up the tongs and grabbed a coal out of the fire, placed it on the mantle. And the coal went from really hot to less and less and less. It was almost dead. Then he got up, got the tongs, put it back in the fire. The black coal just and on fire again. The man who was being visited as his growth group was leaving said, "Oh, thanks for the visit and the fiery sermon. See you next week at growth group and at church." If you're a Christian, then keep walking. That's what it's saying. Keep walking in Jesus. Keep walking his word. Keep walking with his people. Who is driving your life? Who has the crown? Is it you or is it Jesus?